Welcome to Living the Good Life, a broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries, Dunedin, Florida, and around the globe. Join us today as we talk about real life, real truth, real purpose, and how to be living the good life. In our talk, here is Pastor Marcia McAllister.
Praise God. We're live today in the studio in Clearwater, Florida. So excited to be with you today. We have had church this morning, haven't we, Kristen and Nathan?
We sure did.
Oh, boy. God's presence was so mighty today, and it is great to be with you and share words of hope and encouragement to all of our listening audience today. God has a plan for your life. You're not just here by accident. You are here because God created you and put you on this planet at this time. You're listening to this broadcast today because somehow you found out about it and you've tuned in. We want you to know that by the end of our 90 minutes together, you're going to have a renewed sense of hope and joy in your life. To all the fathers out there, including my own dad, happy Father's Day. It's a great day. We're going to talk today, Nathan and Kristen, welcome. I'm so glad you're my special guests today.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. We're going to talk about, in just a moment, how do we act and react when people hurt us? Now, for some of you that have been tuning in consistently the last few weeks, you say, well, you've been talking about hurt. Yes, but today's emphasis on the show is all about the answers, not about the problem. We're going to start out talking a little bit about what our human tendencies are, what we tend to do when somebody hurts us pretty bad. But we are going to go quickly from there into some dynamic talk time and conversation about the answer and what we can do in our lives. So, have you been hurt? I imagine you have. How do you normally act when you're hurt? We're going to talk about that today, and that's exciting. And God's Spirit is here. So we speak a blessing to every one of you listening today, and we ask that you just agree with us in prayer right now for God to do a mighty work in your heart and in our hearts as we talk and communicate. We declare that right now in Jesus' name. We'll be right back.
Do you wonder if the Bible has anything in it that truly matters to your life? Wednesday nights at Beacon of Hope's Compass Group, we experience that God's Word is in real time, answers that help us today. Beacon of Hope is a progressive and affirming church, a community committed to seeing God's plans unfold in our lives. We believe more than ever that it's important for people to come together to look at the relevant, positive, and empowering Word of God. If you want to find out more about your purpose, if you're looking for a positive place to hang out and learn about a brighter future, if you have a desire for experiencing truth and hope in your life, come and join us at Compass every Wednesday night at 7. You can visit us on Sunday mornings, now beginning at 11. Find out more at www.beaconofhopeministries.com. You are welcome in this place.
We're gonna dance in the river. Dance in the river of God's mercy and grace. Praise God. You are listening to Living the Good Life, brought to you by Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are actually in two locations now. We are in Dunedin, Florida, with our church right on Main Street. Easy to find. Go to our website, www.beaconofhopeministries.com, and you'll find out all about it. And there is a new group in meeting now in Newcastle, Indiana, Beacon of Hope Ministries. And Leonard and Joan Tungate, my wonderful friends that were in the church I pastored in Indiana for 7 years, are heading up that wonderful group on Monday nights. So if you want to find out more about that number, Joan has given me permission to give out her phone number. And that number is 765-529-2786. And you can contact Joan and Leonard about the Monday night group in Indiana. So today we're in Clearwater. All right, Kristen and Nathan, and we're so glad to have Nathan back with us. He's been off the air for a few weeks. He was very ill, but he is back to his good old crazy praising God self, and we're glad he's here with us. Praise God. So tell me, the two of you, how do you normally act or react when somebody hurts you?
Well, normally, I guess in the past, I know that a lot of times when I get hurt, my first reaction is, oh, let's see, emotional, thin skin, and I throw a little tantrum. Or
Tantrums, all right.
I can think of times in the past that I've thrown myself a little tantrum.
And I don't think you're doing that much anymore, are you?
No, probably not, but yeah. I have in the past, that okay. is for sure.
Yeah. I kind of react emotionally when you're hurt mm-hmm. and feel mm-hmm. really bad about yeah. it. How does hurt make you feel?
Well, I generally, it feels yucky, you know? I feel unloved yes. when I'm hurt. I feel like that person, whoever that is, they just must not love me.
Right. Because yeah. they hurt you.
Because they hurt me.
And they may not even know they did, but the fact that they did.
I probably let them know they did.
You didn't act funny or anything like that, did you? Nathan?
Well, I have a tendency, or had the tendency to withdraw and mm-hmm. just kind of stuff it down inside of me. Because,
right.
Because, you know, I guess for the most part, I really didn't want people to know that they hurt me.
Yes.
And I would kind of blame myself for just not being adequate enough, not, you know, being there, what I needed to be for that
right.
situation. And so it turned it inward, and it became, you know, inward anger towards myself for not being good enough, you know, just self-criticism.
Wow.
And so I dealt with it a lot that way. I did.
And as you were younger, did you ever carry that to any extremes at all?
As a matter of fact, I did.
I think we all do yeah, sometimes when we're hurt.
As a matter of fact, I did, because I came to the point, there was a certain time in my life when I felt like that life really wasn't worth living anymore.
Okay.
And so.
That's an extreme.
Yeah. And I did attempt suicide.
Okay.
And but God was faithful. He stayed there with me and kept me, you know, and
right.
I'm so glad that he did.
So Amen. Are we.
So are yeah. we, yes. yeah. But, you know, we do sometimes react in extreme ways when we are hurt. And some people, the closest to us, tend to know exactly the buttons to push to get us. Would you all agree
yes,
with
yes.
that?
Yes,
I mean,
indeed.
Sometimes they can just say the right thing and we just feel that pang, that wound deep within us. Or they may one minute be treating us wonderful and that we're their best friend, and the next minute they hardly know us. And what was that about? And we walk away from that situation feeling like, okay, just like Nathan said, what did I do to cause that, or what's wrong with me?
Well, I think so often in those relationships, whatever that is, whether it's with a spouse or a friend or family member, that when we feel that hurt, we don't look at our own responsibility. We might, like Nathan, you said, you know, feel that self-condemnation, but we don't always, at least I didn't always say, okay, I take a part in this as well, how I'm reacting or what I've done. So often any hurt that I'm felt, it's my own expectations of what should have happened
right.
or,
oh, definitely.
You know, or just, I can think of so many times when there's been, you know, fights or outbursts or whatever of, or just little petty things that, like a scrape, you know, like a scrape on your skin. It's not
right.
It's not a broken bone, but it hurts and it's and
I'm aware it's there,
and I it's the other person's fault in
right.
those moments. It feels like it's all their fault. They don't know. They're not loving me, and I can just think back to that what shall we call it, immaturity, where I couldn't take any. So I didn't have any self-awareness of what I was doing in that situation to
right.
cause what was happening as well.
Right. Yeah.
But one of the things I remember too, you know, in the case when I was attempting to kill myself, was that I kept thinking, well, they're going to be sorry.
And you were very, very young, right?
Yes, I was very young.
And now he's very, very old.
Oh,
no. No, I'm teasing.
Oh, thank
you're
you
not.
Very much.
You're just a minute and a half younger than me.
I'm older and more mature.
Right.
Me,
and
a much happier person now.
Amen.
But I just, you know, you begin to think, well, you know, they're going to be sorry. They're going to be
mm-hmm.
sorry they did this. They're going to be
right.
sorry they hurt me like this and that. And it was very selfish of me to
right.
even feel that way, because the fact of the matter was, I was very loved by a lot of people.
Right.
And I'm still loved by a lot of people. And, I would say so.
Yeah.
And for me to take on myself this action hurt a lot of people.
Right.
And it was a very selfish act on my part.
And there may be somebody out there, guys, today who has been so upset with their life and the circumstances around them. And maybe they've been suffering a lot of rejection from somebody they care about very much. And they may be feeling extremely depressed, discouraged, even to the point of, why am I here? What is life worth even living? And we want you, every single listener today, to hear this loud and clear. There is hope for your despair.
Amen.
God has an answer. His word has an answer. And we're going to talk about the good things that can come as we learn, as we really learn about the love of God.
Yes.
That's down on the inside of us and how much he loves us. And on this Father's Day, I have been so blessed to have one of the most wonderful fathers in the whole world, but not everybody has that experience. Mm-hmm. And my dad really did show me the love of God in his life every day. And when we ask God into our lives, we've got that.
Yes.
We've got that love down on the inside of us that can change us. And today we're going to play a CD that is just incredible. And it's done by our famous Nathan Burton, who is sitting right here. I think he played all the instruments and sang all the song, all the parts. But it's found on your new CD.
Right.
What's the name of that CD?
Beacon Songs of Praise. Volume 1.
Volume 1, because there's more volumes coming, right?
There's several more volumes coming.
Why do you call them Beacon Songs?
I call them Beacon Songs because they were born at Beacon of Hope Ministries.
Right.
And during times of ministry there, or at times when I'm just seeking the Lord as to what to do, what to sing.
Right.
And he would give me these songs of praise that we're able to share with the members of the congregation of Beacon of Hope. And they were very edifying, uplifting, and just, they were very good for us.
And many of them were written on the spot. And it's not unusual for a Sunday morning service for Nathan to write a song as we are worshiping. And it just starts to flow out of the keyboard that he's playing and from his voice. And it's just an incredible thing. This one is I've Got the Love of God Living Inside of Me.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's a wild song. And it was birthed last summer in one of our services, or last spring, I guess it was. You can find on our website how to go and purchase Nathan's CD. Go to www.beaconofhopeministries.com and you can purchase one of these wonderful CDs. And that's not a bad picture of you on the front.
Well, thank you.
You're pretty studly looking there. Dudley Do Right.
You're listening to Living the Good Life, a broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries on Tantalk 1340.
Yeah.
Praise God. Guess Praise what, God. Guys? Listening audience, that wasn't Nathan. We messed up on our tracks there. We are doing this show live, and we always do, and it's 90 minutes. And so we got two songs rearranged, but we will listen to Nathan in a little while. In the meantime, if you have your Bible, get it. That would be great. If you want to just listen, that is also fine. We are going to the book of 1 Peter, okay? 1 Peter, and it is, we're going to chapter 3, and there's some great verses here that I think will help us understand what God expects us to do when we are hurt. Because hurt is a real thing, and we've been talking about it the last couple weeks, and we have emphasized the need to forgive, and we still want to say that again today. Some of you may have a pen and a pencil there, or a pen. I'll start that over. A paper would help, and a pen, right? All right. Some of you may have that with you, and you may want to write down that forgiveness does not mean that you agree with the thing that was done to you. Okay, this is very important about the concept of forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean I think it was great that so-and-so said that, did that, acted that way to me. No, forgiveness simply means I let it go. They don't owe me. They don't have to make it right. I refuse to let it, that situation, ruin my life and affect me. And yes, is it going to affect you a little bit? Probably. But the whole goal of forgiveness is let's minimize the devastation from the situation. Ooh, that's good. I think I'm going to say that one more time. Let's minimize the devastation from the situation. And we do that through forgiveness, okay? We minimize it through forgiveness. Are we going to be hurt? Yes. We just talked a couple minutes ago about the fact that all of us have reacted in a lot of crazy ways when we're hurt. There's been a lot of times that we look at our actions and we think, oh man, I wish I wouldn't have made that call and said those awful things to that person that hurt me, or I wish I wouldn't have been depressed for 3 days, or I wish I wouldn't have done this or that. I wish I would have handled the hurt better. Let's talk about how to handle the hurt better. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Summing up, Peter says, be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, and be humble. Now, that's a lot of B's, and that is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. He says, be agreeable. In other words, learn how to get along with people, okay? Be sympathetic. This is a huge thing when it comes to minimizing hurt, is we learn to be sympathetic with the other person, because a lot of times we don't know what caused them to say the nasty thing they said or to do the terrible thing they did. And a lot of times we're not in full awareness of the things in their life that caused them to be this way. Be loving. The crux of all this is the love of God. And we will hear Nathan's song in a little while. I got the love of God living inside of me. Because when you have accepted God into your life, then you do have God's love that will cause you to react in a loving manner, even though you may not exactly know how to act. But the love of God living on the inside of you will teach you how to behave. This verse says, be compassionate, be humble. Well, that's huge right there, because a lot of times when we react out of hurt, we do so, and it's because it's all about us. We are all centered around ourselves and how this did, how this affected me, and how this wasn't supposed to go this way. And I wish they would have understood that they shouldn't have said that, or they shouldn't have done that. And being humble is, God, allow me to learn something from this hurtful situation. I want to be teachable. The true definition of humble is to be teachable, okay? And so, God, teach me something good that I need to learn from the hurt that I've experienced. That goes for all of you, it says here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. No exceptions, no retaliation. Now, there's an answer right there. When we are hurt, a lot of us try to retaliate in some way. We like to hurt back. We like to send the message, if you will, that we are hurt. We like to make sure everybody knows how hurt we are. 1 Peter 3, 8 says no retaliation, no sharp-tongued sarcasm. Now, sharp tongue sarcasm. I don't know about you, but I've heard other people call that passive aggressive behavior. And I gotta say, I've done some of that quite a bit. Well, I guess I won't even talk about that. But I mean, you know what? When you can be sarcastic, get your point across. But really, that's not the way to react when we are hurt. Instead, here's the rest of this verse. Bless. That's your job. To bless. I'm reading out the Message Bible. Here's your job. Bless people. Bless them. Bless means speak a blessing into their life. Pray for them. Blessing them. Praying for them. You'll be a blessing also and get a blessing if you pray for them and pray a blessing upon them. Let's go on with this next verse. Whoever wants to embrace life and see the day fill up with good, here's what you do. Okay, now this is great. I love just plain simple, here's what you do. Okay? You want to embrace life and see the day fill up with good? Well, you know, sometimes when we've been really hurt, our days don't fill up with good. They fill up with despair and woe and depression and woe is me. And I got to call 15 friends and make sure they know how bad I am. Here's what you do. Say nothing evil or hurtful. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not supposed to say anything hurtful after they hurt me. Snub evil and cultivate good. Run after peace for all you're worth. I love that phrase in the Message Bible. Run after peace for all you're worth. Okay? In other words, really go after peace. Now, if peace is your goal instead of retaliation, you're going to come out of that hurtful situation miles ahead than if you would have said some bitter, sarcastic thing, or if you would have retaliated in some ugly way. God looks on all this with approval, listening and responding well to what he's asked, but he turns his back on those who do evil things, okay? If with heart and soul, I'm in verse 13 of 1 Peter 3, you're doing good, do you think you can be stopped? Okay. No matter what people say to hurt us, and believe me, as many years as I've been in the ministry, and I'm not going to tell you how many, but it's been a whole long time since my early 20s being a youth pastor at two different churches, clear back then before I started my own church. And I can tell you there have been many people that have hurt me through the years, but that is something we have to learn to handle in the ministry, okay? And we'll suffer. That's just part of it. But you don't give the opposition a second thought. Instead, you speak a blessing. You speak a blessing. And if you've been one of these that goes around hurting people, now's the time to change your behavior today, because it's not going to do you any good. Instead, you got to learn through thick and thin. This is the rest of this verse. Keep your hearts at attention in adoration before Christ your master. Be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are, and always with the utmost courtesy. In other words, people, you don't go around browbeating people with the Bible. That doesn't work. People don't want you going, oh, you did, blah, 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 and start, you know, beating you up with scripture. That does not work. But you can talk in a loving way. You know what? Yeah, when people hurt me, I used to not say very nice things, and I used to tell everybody I could to stay away from so-and-so. I don't do that anymore because, let's look at the rest of this verse, I keep a clear conscience before God so that when people throw mud at me, none of it will stick. Throw mud at you, none of it will stick. Have you ever had a mud fight? I think when I was a little kid, I did. Some rainy days, you know, and you get a mud puddle and you pick up a big hunk of mud and throw it at your sister and all that good stuff. Well, when it comes to the way we get along with people, if people throw mud at us, guys, and you are really trying to live the way God would have you live and be agreeable, be sympathetic and loving and compassionate and not retaliate and give out hurt for hurt. Remember we said last week, hurt people, hurt people. I have to say it that way so everybody gets the point. Hurt people, okay? And if you are hurt, you don't have to do that, because people who throw mud at you, none of it's going to stick. They'll end up realizing that they're the ones who need a bath. I love this in the Message Bible. It's better to suffer for doing good if that's what God wants than to be punished for doing bad. So what are we saying here? And we're getting ready to talk about this in just a moment, aren't we? We are going to talk about some of these scriptures and the answer to the life situations we all encounter when people say hurtful things. They react in a way that really hurts our feelings. God is calling us to a higher standard, guys. He's calling us to live what the word says, and that is to be agreeable, sympathetic, loving, compassionate, humble. Don't worry about it. They throw mud at you. It can't stick. It's not going to stick. Praise God. Did you get anything from that? We're going to talk about it in just a moment, and we will be right back.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network, AM 1340 WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg, and AM 1350 WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, Wesley Chapel. Listen.
All things are possible. Come on.
You know, people look at my life and they say, how can he be so happy? But I have a big secret. Because of what Jesus Christ has done in my life, I've got all I need. I've got the love of God living inside of me. I've got the love of God living inside of me. I know this much is true, and I know that you can have it too. I've got the love of God living inside of me. Now that you've heard it, sing with me. I've got the love of God living inside of me. Yes, you got it. I've got the love of God living inside of me. I know this much is true, and I know that you can have it too. I've got the love of God living inside of me. Let's sing about his joy. I've got the joy of God living inside of me. Here it comes. I've got the joy of God living inside of me. I know this much is true, and I know that you can have it too. I've got the joy of God living inside of me. Sometimes I get discouraged, dark clouds hanging over my head, burdens got me down so low, I forget all the words that he said. But a still small voice, he comes to me saying, rejoice my son, I've made you free. I've got the peace of God living inside of me. Let's sing about that peace. I've got the peace of God living inside of me. I've got the peace of God living inside of me. I know this much is true, and I know that you can have it too. I've got the peace of God living inside of me, because I know the word of God. I've got the word of God living inside of me.
You're listening to Living the Good Life, a broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries on TAN Talk 1340.
We're so glad you've tuned in today. It's Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. You have just heard Nathan, and he's right here in the studio with Kristen and I today. And that was a great song you wrote and recorded in the recording studio about a year ago, I believe, right?
Yes, it's been probably
Didn't
a year.
Didn't you sing all those parts and play all those instruments?
Oh,
I
yeah.
think so. He's a multi-talented guy. Do you have a love of God down on the inside of you, Nathan?
Definitely. Almost definitely. And, you know, especially on today's topic, when we think about what's going on in people's lives, if you know Jesus, he already equipped us with everything we need.
Amen.
And sometimes we just need to get the word that helps us understand that we can tap into that, something that he's planted deep inside of us, and tap into that and grow from that, because he gives us all things to succeed in this Christian life when we ask him to come into our hearts.
Amen. So you can have the love of God living inside of you with the joy, the peace.
The joy,
you
peace,
can have those
the word,
things.
Well, all of it.
I think that's the thing. I think we're talking about relationships, and we've got we relate with other people. I mean, we're here on this earth with other people. We're all in relationships. And I think so often we go through life expecting other people to fulfill the need that we
that God was meant
to fulfill in our hearts.
Amen.
He's got love for us and he's got joy. And yes, people are, he gave us people too. And those are wonderful relationships, but they're human. And, and it's only God that can give us that joy and peace. And so we really have to change your whole expectation of what people are going to give us and where we're seeking after those, that love and acceptance. We need to seek after that from God, and then all the other things will be in the right place. But until we get that straight in our heads of who we're expecting that love from.
Right. And you know, and another thing that we have to realize too is that God called us, like we're reading here in First Peter, we were reading about that. You know, he tells us very clear instruction on how to relate to people.
Amen. Yes.
You know, everything that we're looking for from other people are things that he tells us to be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He tells us to
we want everybody else to act that way.
he tells us to act towards them the way that we want them to act towards us, you know.
Amen.
Like that old adage and saying, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Amen.
And we find when we do this, we do find more peace in our life. We find more success in our life. I think people are talking about they really want success. I think the truly thing people are really seeking is contentment.
Amen.
And the only way to find true contentment is to be obedient to these directives that we are giving in the Word of God in our relationship to people, because then we don't have those expectations that can be disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, we have the love of God and the joy of God and the peace of God that's going out from us to them. And we become a blessing.
Yes.
What does it say? He said, you speak a blessing into their life.
Right.
You be a blessing and you'll receive a blessing. I couldn't help but think, Pastor, as you were talking about that, about the fact that so much illness is caused by wrong emotions.
Exactly.
By the negative emotions and experiences that we have, by hurt, being hurt and that. Mm-hmm. And when we learn to put into practice these principles that we were talking about here now, it's good for us. it keeps us healthy.
It keeps us healthy.
It keeps us healthy because we're not keeping all that junk.
I so agree with you. But, you know, I'm thinking here, I've known, because I'm just a minute and a half older than you, Nathan, I tell everybody.
They always joke that they're twins. And
We were separated at birth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
I'll just clear that right up.
That's not possible, is
okay,
it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But, you know, there's an awful lot of people that love chaos.
Oh.
Okay? They love drama.
Okay?
And they love to be in situations where they can call somebody and say, and so did this, and then they did that, and then they did that. They live for the drama. It's like a natural sugar high that a lot of people get from hurt. And so I think a lot of times the hurt is, it's not that it's not there, but a lot of times we make it bigger than it is, and we like the chaos around it.
Well, you will find out that you can engage almost any stranger even in a conversation when it's a complaining about some situation or circumstance.
Yeah. People, standing in a long line
people
somewhere.
People enjoy expressing their complaints.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And they, you know, well, you think this, well, what about this? And and it just, it's a natural tendency that we have to be negative, to complain about things.
And don't you think that so much of that is, one, bad habits, and two, that it's a comfort level. In our society, it seems like it's acceptable to go around complaining about things, but people look at you kind of funny if you go around happy.
Oh, yeah.
They want to know what you're up to. Right?
Exactly.
I've had that happen in my office a lot. People go, what's wrong with you today?
I had somebody ask me that recently, and I'm like, well, I just got to say, they said, your job is so hard. How do you take all the complaints and the criticisms and all that on a daily basis, and yet you're still so happy all the time? I'm like, it's God inside of me. And they looked at me like I was crazy, but that's what it is.
Are you saying that having God on the inside of you can really cause you to get through some of life's worst hurts and pains and rejection and all that junk that happens to us. Are you saying that God really can do that?
Completely. He can, because, you know, I look at my life where I'm at right now, and my sister and I, who I love dearly, and I have a couple sisters that I love dearly, but I have one sister that we were really close my whole life, and we're kind of estranged at this point. We might talk once a year and might exchange an email every once in a while, but, you know, we're not close. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that that doesn't hurt, because it
hurts.
Does.
Yes.
It hurts.
Yes.
But I don't have resentment towards her or bitterness towards her. I love her, you know, and I'm at peace. And I know that as time goes on, whether on this side or on that side, that we are going to be reunited again.
Amen.
And
amen.
I know that, and I can go through my life and have that joy and peace and knowing that I love my sister,
right.
But I don't walk my life out based on that hurt, I guess,
exactly.
Is the difference. I walk my life out based on the truth and the knowledge that Jesus loves me and God loves me, and that I have his peace. I have his peace on the inside of me.
Amen.
And also you have his love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as human beings, when we try to do things in the natural that the Bible says for us to do, we find out that it's really very difficult. It is not easy at all.
Right.
As a matter of fact, it's easier to backbite and to get
natural,
revenge,
I think,
and to retaliate, you know, to express our anger,
right.
and our distrust and these things of this nature. Those, that's more natural for us. That is the reason why this Christian life is really a supernatural thing.
Right.
It is something that we cannot do without the Spirit of God in
Amen.
Us.
That's
There's
right.
no way that we can obey the single, I mean, Jesus said,
love.
By this shall the world know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another.
Amen.
And even people in the church today, in organized religion today, do not have the ability to express this kind of love for one another. It just doesn't happen unless we reach deep inside to the resource that's been planted in us when we receive Jesus Christ into our life and draw from that. It is impossible for us to express this kind of love.
Right.
It just won't happen. It doesn't happen.
And so it becomes a thing of, if we are going to, I use the word conquer, and I don't know that you ever really conquer something like hurt in your life. It's something you're going to deal with all your life. If we are going to learn to get stronger in the way we react to hurt and not always let it totally and completely devastate us and knock us out of the ball game for a while, if we are going to learn how to do that, we need tools.
Right.
Okay?
We
need to know what to do. Somebody said this morning about if somebody comes up and with a knife and stabs you in the stomach,
right,
did you know what you're going to do?
Look at it.
You're going to look at it, aren't you?
Yeah.
Are you going to look down at that knife wound and go, oh my?
And I'll probably start saying, look at, I just got stabbed.
Yeah, look
I
at
just
this.
Got stabbed.
Look at this.
Right. Yeah, and it's going to have blood all over your shirt. And,
well, you just call attention to it.
You call attention to it.
All of a sudden, your attention comes from out there to in here.
Because you're bleeding and you need help.
And you need help.
Of course,
right.
We wouldn't see yours as quickly because you have a sweater on in here and it's 99 in Clearwater today. No, it's not. I'm teasing, but
yeah, I wanted to mention this. One thing that we have to realize, even Christians go, that hurt is a part of life.
It's part of life. I agree.
Everyone is going to experience
yes.
a certain amount of hurt, a certain amount of pain, a certain amount of disappointments, a certain amount of neglect, a certain amount of rejection. That is all a part of living mm-hmm. in this earth.
Yes.
It's just part of life.
Amen.
Now, the one that's victorious is the one who realizes the resource that he has within himself of Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't have him in your life, you're not going to have in you the ability to overcome or conquer these areas
right.
of life. You're not going to have the ability to minimize the devastation of the situation.
Oh, that's good. I'm so glad that popped out a minute ago. And we're going to say that one more time because that just came out through the anointing of God upon us right now, because that's not something we planned. Minimize the devastation of the situation, because that's the goal. If we are going to get stronger emotionally, which is what we've been talking about here
yes.
on and off for a while.
Well, and that's the whole thing. All these hurts and disappointments and everything that we go through, it's the fire that tests us. It's
yes.
what makes us stronger. And when we learn from those that we become stronger, that the next little nick that normally would have hurt us, it doesn't hurt us anymore because we know where our strength is, we know where our peace is, and it doesn't wound us like it would have in the past because we've learned from it. But I know that I went through such a long period of my life, it felt like that I just kept living the same mistakes over and over again,
right,
and didn't learn from them. I felt like, I remember thinking that, I feel like I'm living the same spiritual year over and over again in my life, and it wasn't until I took those steps to start saying, okay, I need to do something different. I need to change something, right? The mm-hmm. definition.
But
of,
don't you think you have to be fed up with it enough to do something about
it?
Let me, let's go
That's
back
right.
to the knife in the stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So everybody can yep. see, visually see this. If there's a knife in your stomach and it's kind of protruding out there and you're bleeding and you're getting a little weaker because you're losing blood and you're thinking, oh, I just wish that hadn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you do nothing about it.
Right.
A knife in your gut is going to kill you.
That's right.
Eventually, you're going to lose enough blood if you don't do something about it.
That's right.
And so we are called to do something about the hurtful situations in our lives. But we said at the top of the show that oftentimes we tend to react out of hurt and do the wrong thing, not do the
exactly.
right thing.
Stab back.
Stab back. Ooh, that's good. Take that knife out and I'm pushing you. All right.
That's right.
But it's okay to look at the hurt, but then we must take it a step further and we must do something about it. Okay? We must do something about it. Now, as I've been sitting here and we've been talking about this, what is it that we think about when we are rejected or hurt and it's a bad emotional trauma for us? What do we tend to think about? Let's go back to that. Let's remember what we tend to. A lot of times we think about the hurt. We rehearse the hurt, right?
Yeah.
We play the movie back over. Okay, then this happened, and then this happened. And then he said that, and then he did this. Oh, I don't believe he did that. Let me remember. Oh, did I forget a detail? No, and then that happened. We rehearse the hurt.
But not only that, generally speaking, we tend to go back and remember every single infraction.
Oh, we've got elephant memory when it comes to hurt.
We remember every single right. thing this person did
right.
that offended us or that hurt us.
Right.
That, you know, every single thing. And as a matter of fact, we even remember things that may not have happened, but suddenly
our perception,
we perceived mm-hmm. it. And there, I mean, and so this infraction that may have been just a small wound suddenly becomes a gaping hole.
Right. And if it's not attended to, it does get worse.
It does get worse.
And you die.
And you die.
And you die.
You die.
You die emotionally, you die spiritually.
Yes.
Because I really do believe that hurt and unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment cause huge problems in our lives.
Well, hurt that, you know, at that stab wound, if it's not attended to, it can become infected. And as it gets infected, it begins to fester. And it begins to swell, and it begins to, you know, all the negative things that happen, and then, you
right.
know, it becomes diseased or becomes dead tissue. It dies, but it's because it's not attended to, and
right.
the proper care is not given to that wound. It will kill you.
So, what's the proper care here? What do we do?
Here we go.
What do we do about
We're
it?
We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But first, before we get there, I
okay.
want to identify the house of pain.
Oh,
but
right.
I appreciate you bringing that up. The house of pain, I've been teaching this at Beacon right now. The four I throw out to you is disappointments and failed expectations. Mm-hmm. Okay, I want you to picture a little house with me. It's easy for me to do that since I'm a realtor. I can picture houses pretty well. If I were a car dealer, I would probably be wanting you to picture a car right now. But no, we're picturing a house. And the four is disappointments, failed expectations. Mm-hmm. When people look at a lot of people that live in the house of pain, what they see initially is the front wall of that house. When I pull up to show a house to somebody, I generally pull up to the front. Rarely do I pull my truck right around to the back and go in the back door. I pull up to the front of the house, get out, and walk in the front door. I propose to you that the front wall of the house of pain is hurt. And that is what people see, okay? Now, I also propose to you that when hurt is left unattended properly and it is it's allowed to grow and get worse, it grows other walls, okay? And I propose to you that one of those walls is unforgiveness, and we have to learn to deal with that in our lives. We got to learn how to forgive. The other side wall, I believe, is resentment. And resentment is a big one. I mean, I really think this goes in stages in this house of pain. It starts with hurt, but it can go into unforgiveness, and then it can go into a lot of resentment. And then the back wall, you don't see this as you pull up to the house. It's bitterness, and that's where the ugliness comes. On top of all that is a roof. If you want to picture this house of pain, and it's all about me. The roof is all about me, self-centeredness, okay? So now we've identified the problem that when we don't do something about it, we actually create a house of pain on the inside of us. We really do. And it's just, it's got those walls, and so the walls are built up, and we don't let people come in anymore, and we refuse because we just don't want to be hurt.
That house of pain also not only keeps people out, but it becomes a prison keeping you in.
Amen.
People don't realize that when they allow these things to happen, allow this hurt to fester and to grow into this house of pain, that not only are they, quote unquote, protecting themselves from being hurt, which they really aren't, but they believe they are protecting themselves from being hurt again, but they also have imprisoned themselves in a place where they really don't want to be.
Exactly. It's not a fun place to be.
I think this is an interesting place, because we're not, what we're going to talk about in the hope and joy and peace, we're not necessarily changing the circumstances of the situation. Mm-hmm. But what we're changing is the internal dialogue in our head, how we feel about things, and about how we perceive our future. We're talking about our response. And so much hurt, I mean, we've all been through hurt. I've been through hurt. I know there's a lot of listeners out there who've been through a lot of hurt.
Yeah.
And it hurts, and it doesn't feel like selfishness. I'm sure it, for me, when I first started thinking about that roof of selfishness that holds it all together, that makes it complete, that it's like, but they did this, and
that's
and
right.
And but I'm hurt here, and somebody was so mean. How is that my selfishness? I don't get that. But
how is it?
But well, but it's true.
It's
but
true.
It's true, because no matter if it's the person that we want to think that the self-centered person is the arrogant person, the person that's conflicting, that's doing the pain, that's against us, that's our rival, that's our mm-hmm. enemy in this situation, even if it's our loved one.
Right.
But really, what it is our selfishness is when we're low self-esteem. We're focused on ourselves. When we're secluded and shy and depressed, we're focused on ourselves.
Yes.
It's in those moments of our pain when we're turning and looking at that wound and we're not looking up for the solution.
Amen.
That we are focused on ourselves. So it's not a point of condemnation.
Right.
It's a point to say, okay, I'm going to lay this down and be humble.
Yes.
I'm going to lay this down and forgive. And
yes.
I'm going to lay this down and take my eyes off of myself and start thinking about others, that the healing begins.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Let's have a word of prayer as I start at the next little segment here of teaching. Lord, we just thank you for this discussion that is going on. We thank you, God, that there is new insight and revelation knowledge coming to each of us here in the studio and those that are listening around the globe. God, I thank you for the healing power of your Holy Spirit that is reaching down into our hearts right now and causing us to understand how we can have a hope and a future, and that we can live free from depression and thoughts of suicide. We can learn to live with hope and peace and love on the inside of us like we've never known before. God, I thank you right now for the promise of victory in this area in our lives. And we thank you as we share the next few moments that you will quicken down on the inside of our emotions, that you would speak to our hearts and let us understand your principles, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Back in the book of Luke, chapter 4, Jesus went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up and he began to teach. And Jesus stood and asked for the scroll to be delivered from the big rack of scrolls that they had. And the scroll that Jesus asked for was Isaiah chapter 61. And Jesus read a few verses to the people in the synagogue gathered together that day. And that is so critical, Isaiah 61, because this is the first sermon that Jesus preached. The first sermon he preached was from the book of Isaiah, the prophet. And Jesus stood there in the synagogue that day, and he said these words. And if you have your Bible, you can go with me to Isaiah 61, beginning with verse 1. The Spirit of God, the Master, is on me, because God anointed me. Jesus publicly stood up in his first sermon and said, I've been anointed. Now, some of you may say, I don't even know what that word means. That has to do with the presence of God falling down on the inside of you and causing you to have more strength and more ability to speak eloquently, more ability to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. And Jesus said, God has anointed me. He sent me to preach good news to the poor, heal the heartbroken, announce freedom to all captives, and pardon all prisoners. God sent me to announce the year of his grace. This is why Jesus was sent to this earth, okay? Jesus Christ of Nazareth was sent to this earth to do specific things. His first sermon, he announced what it was. He said, I came to give you good news. I came to heal your broken hearts, announce freedom to all you that are bound up in all your old hurts, rejection, and all of your misunderstandings and all your pain. And he said, I came to pardon all the prisoners, and I came to give you my grace, my unmerited favor. That's why he came. That's why he's here. Now, if God sent Jesus for that specific purpose, to heal our broken hearts, then it only flows naturally that Jesus came and healed broken hearts, right? Now, he walked this earth for 3 years, and he preached sermons, and he taught people about the love of God. Nowhere do you find Jesus walking around teaching people about the wrath of God. He taught the love of God, the mercy, and the grace. And he said it right here in Isaiah, I came to teach you God's grace, his mercy, and his love. Now, whoever you are out there today, whatever life circumstances you're in, no matter what relationship you're in or problems that you are facing right this moment in a relationship or in a business or whatever it is going on in your life, if you can say down on the inside, you know what? Yeah, I've had a broken heart. And you know what? Right now, I still feel it. I feel pretty heartbroken. There is good news for you out there today because Jesus came to heal broken hearts. Praise God. That's enough to get all happy about and do a few hallelujahs, all right? And in Colossians chapter 3, if you have your Bible, let's go over there for a moment. Chapter 3 of Colossians in the New Testament, starting about verse 12. Interestingly enough, the vision for Beacon of Hope Ministries is Isaiah 61, 1 through 5, and it is Colossians 3, 12 to 17. God gave me those passages back in 1984 as I was preparing to begin Cornerstone Christian Ministries in Newcastle, Indiana. God gave me these two sets of scripture. And now, after all these years, these are still the vision that God has given me, even though now my ministry has changed and it's Beacon of Hope Ministries instead of Cornerstone, but it's not any different. It's still the same message. Jesus Christ heals broken hearts. He does. In Colossians 3, verse 12, he says, those of you that are chosen by God for this new life of love, because that's the answer here. And we're going to talk about it more in a few minutes, Nathan and Kristen, about this life of love and what that means and how we do that on a practical everyday basis. He says, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Okay? I'm glad God picked out for me Gap shirts and I know, but he did. This is what God picked out for me. Polo shirts and Gap shirts and Gap pants. And yeah, I'm glad God loves blue jeans. But anyway, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. This is the wardrobe we're supposed to be wearing. We're supposed to be wearing compassion. We do that, we're not going to be as easily hurt. Kindness, when we are giving out kindness instead of retaliation, we're not going to be as easily hurt. Humility, when we are allowing God to teach us. quiet strength. You know, quiet strength is a cool thing. You can look at somebody with quiet strength and you just like know there is something going on the inside of them that is beyond this human realm. It's a spiritual level of strength. Discipline, and we're going to talk about this in our discussion in a minute, because what we think about, we become, right? And so as we discipline our minds to not dwell on the hurts, we begin to change. It says in Colossians chapter 3, I'm still in this passage, 12 to 17, be even tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive. There we are again. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly. Now, I think this is one of the keys to coming out of the house of pain, and that is learning to forgive quickly. Why don't one of you make a note of that so we talk about that in a minute? Because when we harbor it and we don't forgive quickly, that's when we get into all kinds of trouble. Forgive as quickly and completely as the master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. Okay, this is what you wear. Okay, you wear love. Okay, it's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. And then you let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. This is critical right here, because as we desire peace in our lives, if you want to live in your hurt and your bitterness and your unforgiveness and your resentment, you're going to find that it doesn't feel good, and it does cause physical problems, okay? And it does cause mental issues, and it does cause emotional turmoil, and it does cause all kinds of emotional pain. If you want to live there, you'd be living in the house of pain and forever. Why live in the house of pain when you can live in a house of love? Because it's God's love living inside of me. That was your song, right? It's the love of God living inside of me. That is it. That is the answer, guys. It is God's love that comes and lives on the inside of us. It's not about condemnation. It's not about getting even. It's not about retaliation. It's not about having the last word. Have you ever had the last word in a fight with somebody, a partner or somebody, and then they turn around and say something under their breath? And you think, oh, shoot, I thought I had the last word. And then what happened there? They came back and said something nasty again. And then you just have to have the last word again. You know, the last word just really doesn't work. Let me tell you, my friends, it doesn't work to try to get the last word. Beacon of Hope Ministries is a lot different than a lot of churches. And one reason is we are commissioned with a particular commission. And that is to, yes, teach people about salvation, but to take another step into healing the broken hearts. That is what we are commissioned to do. That is what God has called us to do, and that is what God has anointed us to do. I wish you could have been at Beacon of Hope this morning, because all heaven broke loose and healing was all over that room. There wasn't a dry eye. In fact, we recorded what God did this morning, and if you want that CD, just go into cds@beaconofhopeministries.com and you can order it from today, which was June 17th of 2007. And it was a powerful move of God, and I promise you it will bring healing into your life, because what God did this morning. Jesus came to heal the broken hearts. We are commissioned to do the very same thing. The last sermon Jesus preached, the last thing he said before he went to heaven, he stood there and he said, wait here, because the Holy Spirit's coming, the counselor, and he's going to live on the inside of you. It's the love of God living inside of me. Because when the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of you, then he allows you to react differently than without the presence of God in your life. We'll be right back.
All things are possible. Come on.
My hiding place, my safe refuge, no other name.
You're listening to Living the Good Life, a broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries on Tan Talk 1340.
Praise God, all things are possible. Do you believe that, Nathan and Kristen?
Oh,
do you believe
definitely.
That God can take our hurts and our disappointments and our bitterness and our resentments? Do you believe that God can teach us how to live free of that junk?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They said it in harmony. Look at that. You do believe that?
Oh, yes.
All things are
yes.
possible, that song. We were dancing and shouting in here. I'm sorry y'all couldn't see us in here. We'll have to get the TV camera. Because we were just having church in here a minute ago. Because all things are possible.
All things.
We believe this with all our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
We believe that God heals brokenhearted people.
Yes,
and
we do.
And that just song says so much about what it takes to heal our broken hearts.
Yes.
Because our feet are planted on the rock of Jesus, and His word is in our heart. Is that what it is? It's and His words are in our mouth. A new song in our mouth.
Yes.
It's where we're dwelling.
Amen.
It's where our mind goes, where our mouth goes. I get excited when I hear that song. I guess what I want to tell people out there is that you have the power to make the choice.
Amen.
That's it.
To change your life.
That's
Amen.
It.
And the choice is Jesus Christ.
That's
oh,
it.
But what if somebody says out there, you know what? Everybody in my family suffers from depression, and they're always just feeling terrible, and they're just full of self-pity, and they're just pathetic little individuals. What would you say?
Well, I speak to that in Jesus' name, then I say, be cast out, because
yes.
Jesus told us to just cast that out.
Yes.
And I'm sure that's a real hurt.
Right.
But believe it is Mark 25. Jesus said, speak to that mountain.
Yes, 11,
and tell it
25.
To go. Yes,
yes,
tell it to go throw itself in the sea.
Yes.
And if you do not doubt
right.
in your heart, and that's the important part, you can't doubt it. You have to believe that what you said will happen, it will be done for you.
You can declare that the hurt and unforgiveness and bitterness and all that junk in the house of pain is not going to rule you. You are going to rule it.
Well, the fact of the matter is, that, I mean, this is going to be another little commercial for the CD. Get the CD.
It's a great CD.
There's a song on there that says, darkness has no power
Amen.
Over
we
me.
Amen. We played it a couple weeks
yeah,
ago.
Yeah. And that, I mean, the key is this. Once you receive Jesus Christ into your life, you have the power and the ability to
yes.
choose. Prior to that, you really don't. Darkness rules, and people are ruled then mostly by their emotions and not by their spirit man, because the spirit man is not made alive yet until Jesus Christ comes in. But once He comes into your life, you are set free.
Amen.
And the enemy will do everything that he can to try to keep you from knowing that. He will do everything he can to try to persuade you that you're not free. But the fact of the matter is, you are free,
Amen.
And you begin to realize, I can choose not to feel this way. I can choose not to react this way.
Right.
I can choose to forgive you, even
yes.
if you're the most rottenest thing in the world to me. I can forgive you
Amen.
and keep my joy, the
Amen.
Joy of Jesus in my heart and in my life.
Yes. It's a choice.
It's a choice.
Nathan, you've said something early in the broadcast about obedience, and you just said something about discipline. And I just want to point this out, because you keep saying it, that it is through our discipline and our obedience.
Yes.
Yes.
That we get freedom.
Yes.
And coming from a person who, I mean, my biggest struggle in life is discipline. I'll just say it here on this air, on the airwaves here.
Kristen. But, it'll make your heart feel better.
But you know what? I proclaim that, but Jesus is teaching me this.
Amen.
I'm teaching
Amen.
Through the Word of God.
Right.
Through the Word of God in my life, that I'm learning to overcome that.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
But anytime I practice that discipline,
yes.
I practice that obedience, there is such freedom in
Amen.
That. I mean, there is such freedom that comes from being disciplined. And I guess what this has to do with relationships and tying that all together is that back in the verse that we were reading, it's our humility and our compassion and our discipline, those all work together to have that robe of love on, that clothing of love on.
So let's talk about this practically speaking. Somebody hurts you. Somebody does something awful to you. Maybe they... I don't even want to conjecture what they might do. But, I mean, life is full of hurts, and there's a terrible hurt. And our normal reaction would be to talk about it, dwell on it, stew on it, tell 15 people.
Pay them back.
Pay them back, retaliation. Now, today we are saying to you, dear listening audience, God has an answer, because Jesus came to heal your broken heart.
That's right.
We're not saying you're not ever going to be heartbroken. No, because you are. because you live in a human body. We're not saying that you're never going to have people say things and do things to you that are pretty bad. Believe me, I've had a few in my life myself. But I choose to speak blessing into the lives of people that have hurt me. I choose. It's the discipline of choosing to control my emotions and not let them control me.
Forgive quickly and completely as the Lord has forgiven you. That is such a key issue when it comes to this, because the fact of the matter is all Satan wants to do is make you have a second thought.
Right.
In the Garden of Eden,
right,
when he came to Eve and tempted Eve, the first thing he said to her was, has God said, has God not said that you should not eat?
Questioning God. Right.
Give a second thought.
Right.
Jesus says, forgive quickly,
right,
and completely, even
don't
as the Lord has forgiven you. If the enemy can get in there and get a second thought, that's when the hurt begins to take root in your life. If you can stop yourself at the point when it first happens and you realize, well, you know, this, they're trying to hurt me.
Yeah.
And you realize that and you can stop yourself and say, I choose discipline. I choose to forgive you right now. I mean, you don't have to say it out loud to their face necessarily, because, you know, sometimes that just make them even more offensive. But in your heart and in your mind, because that's where the battle goes on anyway.
It is in your mind.
It's in your mind. In your mind, you make the decision. I'm going to forgive. I'm not going to hold on to that.
Right.
I'm not going to let that take root inside of me. It's not going to cause the pain or the wound that it could cause, because I choose to forgive as quickly and completely as the Savior did for me.
And then your emotions follow along. So it's an act of faith. Like when you got saved and asked Jesus into your heart, you may not have felt a thing. And I've said this before, and y'all make fun of me when I say it. But when you got saved, you didn't see a little plastic Jesus come flying through the air and land inside your heart, did you?
No, we didn't.
No, it was by faith that you accepted him into your life and said, I choose you to be my personal Savior and Lord. I don't see anything. I may not even have felt anything. The emotions catch up with our act of faith. It's faith first, and then the emotions follow.
Well, the fact of the matter is, emotions are the caboose in the train of a person's life.
That's right.
The emotions will follow your will.
Exactly.
If you decide as a spirit man, you're going to be led by your spirit.
Amen.
And by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That's the engine.
Yes.
And the engine is fed by the Word of God. You get more of the Word of God and more of the Word of God in you. What's an interesting thing that Paul taught, I believe it was to the Corinthians, he said to them, you really have no need that any man teach you, because you already have within you the knowledge of God, the knowledge of God. And whatever happens is when you're listening in a service and you listen to someone preach or teach or that, there's something inside you say, yeah, I know that. Because it's already in you. Well, when we allow our spirit man, to take charge, that's the engine that drives our life to success and drives our life to what getting our needs met, drives our life to this life that shucks off hurt and all the pain. Because the fact of the matter is, you're going to be hurt, you're going to be disappointed, you're going to get sick, you're going to deal with all this, because those are all issues of this life.
Go ahead, Kristen. So when we take that step and we take those disciplines and we discipline ourselves to get our will to make the right choice and react out of love and out of anger, and we discipline ourselves to do that, and we discipline ourselves to forgive on the spot. Then, and I heard you say this earlier when we were talking today, Nathan, that's when it becomes easier. And the next time it's easier, and the next time it's easier, and the next time. And you know what happens? When you discipline yourself once, and then you do it the next time, and the next time, then it becomes a habit.
Then
it becomes part of your character.
Part of your nature.
Part of your character and who you are. And you've just matured. And you've just matured. You've gone through that process of maturing, and you have a healthier relationship.
It's like flossing your teeth.
It is. And it is. And there's an amazing thing that happens.
It is.
It is like flossing your teeth. The amazing.
Doesn't feel good when you floss your teeth?
It does. You feel so cleaned out.
Right.
And it might hurt a little bit.
It might hurt a little bit. But when you don't do it,
And your gums might bleed a little bit at first if you haven't been doing it. But if you do,
I love to floss my teeth.
If you do it over and over again, it just cleans.
And it feels so good once it
And when you've created that habit in your life, the people around you, we teach people how to treat us.
Exactly.
We teach
people that's profound.
How to treat us. And if we are going around being hurt and being a doormat or being angry or
walk
being
on me,
hurt,
walk on me.
Whatever it is, or being combative with people. They're going to come against us combative. They're going to walk on us, whatever your trait is. But when we teach people that we forgive, people forgive you. When you treat people with love,
people love you.
When you plant corn seed, you get corn in
it's
Indiana.
So true.
Whatever you really do. That you also reap.
And this is how we build successful relationships.
Yes.
When you work on yourself, we're so good at being in the habit. I know with my wife with Cricket, I always want her. You've heard her on the air, so you see that she's ornery.
She is ornery.
She's sitting across.
She's producing on the other side
with a big look on her face, like she doesn't know what I'm talking about. But when I don't even know what I was going to say now. No, but when I treat her with love, then I get love back.
Right.
You know, when we do that, when we make that habit.
Yes.
And it's vice versa. So we really do.
I have that with my dogs, Bailey and Zoe.
Yeah, we create healthy relationships by, this is what I was going to say. We create healthy relationships by changing ourselves. I would love to go around saying, Cricket needs to change this and this and this about herself. But
then you're going to have to throw away that list you made last week.
Yeah.
Of all of her faults.
But it doesn't work that way.
No,
I have to look on the inside of myself and say, okay, Lord, I'm putting down all my faults.
Yes.
I'm putting down all the things that on my hurts. I'm forgiven right now, and I'm asking you to change my heart to be more like you, to be more loving. And that's when we create healthy, successful relationships.
I totally agree. I totally agree. One of the things that I can appreciate now that I've gotten older, since I'm only a few seconds younger than Pastor here.
That's right.
Is that, you know, the hard times for me now don't seem as hard as they used to be, as much as they seem to be revealing, because they show me what's really inside of me.
Yeah.
You know, they show me how much I have grown. And you know, I mean, it shows me how the Lord takes, the scripture says, and God works all things together for our good, because we love him and called according to his purpose. He shows me that in some of the difficult times that I go through. And he shows me that some of those things are not necessarily for my sake, but perhaps for the sake of someone else, that I can go and tell them, you know, there's a way out. There is success at the end of there's a light at the end of the tunnel. There's a way, you know, that God can bring you through this and make you stronger because of it.
Amen. He does make all things. Yeah, I want to go back to a point I made a little while ago, because Jesus' first sermon was very dramatic, that I talked about a little while ago in Luke 4, where he stood up and said, I'm anointed, God sent me, I'm supposed to be healing broken hearts. That's what I came to do, to set captives free. And we all agree that when we're living in the house of pain, we're a captive
That's
to our
right.
emotions,
right?
Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Now, in the last sermon and the last statement, and I mentioned this a few minutes ago, but it bears repeating. The last thing Jesus said before he left this earth and he went up into heaven, was caught up into heaven in a cloud. That's Acts chapter 1, if you want to find it in your Bible and look at it later. The last thing he said, okay? The first thing he said was, I came to heal the broken hearts. The last thing he said is, it's a good thing I'm leaving, because I've done my work here. I'm going to heaven now. And because I leave this earth, I send you the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. He's the healer. He's the one who comes in on the inside of us and heals our broken heart. Okay? Jesus said, I do that because we can't really separate God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It's all God, but it's the Trinity, right? Mm-hmm. Three parts of the same thing, all deity, all God, hard to understand. Just understand it like water. All water molecules are two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. Whether it's ice, steam, or running water, it's still all water. It's still all God. God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When Jesus went to this earth, he said, the Holy Spirit's coming and he's going to live on the inside of you. And guys, that's why we get so excited, Beacon Hope, because we know the Spirit of God living on the inside of us brings us that love, that joy, that peace. peace that Nathan was singing about earlier on the CD. It's the Holy Spirit of God is the healing agent. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write that down. The Holy Spirit of God is the healing agent on the inside of us. So you can't see yourself healing, but as you begin to put into practice the things we're talking about and what the Word of God says, you do begin to heal from these things of hurt. You really do, because the healing agent lives on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Well, Jesus said to us, you know, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send the Holy Spirit, who will be your teacher, who'll be your counselor, he'll be your guide, he'll be your comforter, he'll be your peace. He will, you know, he will guide you into all truth, all of these things. And it's true. We sometimes try to minimalize the power of God and the move of the Holy Spirit. We try to bring it down to our level.
We can't.
And we can't do it.
God, it's too powerful.
God's desire is to bring us up to his level, to make us true sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
And that's supernatural living. Jesus Christ said, if you believe in me, the same works that I did shall you do also.
Amen.
And even greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. And, you know, that's a supernatural thing. There's
right.
a prayer that we pray in church together, that we are yeah. a supernatural church doing supernatural things. You know, and that's who we are.
That's who we are.
And that's what it's about.
Amen.
Because that's what the world needs to see, is the
Amen.
Supernatural witness
Amen.
Of the power of God in the church.
Praise God. Praise God. Are we saying that all things are possible?
All things are possible.
I love that song we played a little
Amen.
While ago. Because
Amen.
All things are possible.
That's right.
You can be healed out there, my friend.
Yes.
You can be healed of your broken heart.
Yes. yes.
You can. Your relationships that are
yes.
estranged can be healed.
Yes.
The hurts and the pains and the personality traits that you think are just in you, that you can be healed of those things. You can grow beyond those things. I'm just thinking a couple weeks ago or 2 weeks, I don't remember, when Cricket was on last, she said something about how we emulate people.
Yes.
And about how I was thinking about, well, sometimes in our community it doesn't feel like we have a lot of people to emulate, and I'm just sitting here thinking, we can't do all this on our own will.
No, we
can't.
No,
it's
we
not can't. About our own will. We do have the choice.
Yes.
But it's about emulating Christ.
Amen.
And it is about that Holy Spirit within us, that we emulate the example of Christ that we have in loving one another.
Well, he is our example.
He is
our example, and he empowers us to fulfill his commission. That's what the Holy Spirit
Amen.
Is about. He gives us the ability. It's God's ability, you know, his super on our natural.
And we exactly.
just praise him
for that. And all things are possible.
All things
We're
going to
be back in just a moment.
Beacon of Hope is a place designed with you in mind. That means we don't expect you to look or act a certain way. We want you to feel comfortable and infected each week through great music, authentic community, and relevant teaching. Sunday morning dress is casual and the coffee is always hot. Beacon of Hope welcomes all people, all origins, backgrounds, lifestyles, and circumstances. You'll meet people just like you. Beacon of Hope is located at 1812 Main Street, Dunedin, Florida. Check us out on the web at www.beaconofhopeministries.com. Come and experience with us at Compass Wednesday evenings at 7 and every Sunday morning, now beginning at 11. Find the true direction and meaning you've been looking for in your life.
Praise God. Oh, let my life song sing to you, God. Praise God. He gives us meaning. He gives us direction. Dear one out there today, God has a plan and a purpose for you. You didn't tune in today by accident. It was probably intentional that you found us on the web or you found us on 1340 AM on your radio dial. We are a body of believers that believe that you can receive the abundance of God right now on this earth. You can begin, yes, heaven is coming, but you can begin to live in more joy, more peace, more love than you've ever known. I want to pray for you out right now. Dear God, there are those that have tuned in today who absolutely need to find you as their personal Savior. If there's anybody out there that does not know Jesus as your personal Savior, what it takes is Romans 10:9-10. You can find it in your Bible. And that is, it takes believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth, that he was died on a cross for our sins, our sicknesses, that he went into a grave, but he came out a risen Lord. It's acknowledging Jesus as your personal Savior. And then it's taking it another step further and saying, God, I want you to teach me how to live the way I can live in abundance, in prosperity, in the joy of the Lord, and knowing you and finding peace and real love in my life like I've never known. And so if there's any of you out there that want to talk to one of us, you can call on the church cell phone that I usually carry or someone else. And that number is 813-417-3377, or go to our Beacon of Hope website at www.beaconofhopeministries.com and write us a letter and we will respond and minister to you. So we want to be in contact with you. Some of you have begun to email that you do listen and we're glad to hear that. Always, we appreciate your prayer support. Your financial donations are appreciated, and you can go to our website and go to PayPal and give to the kingdom of God through Beacon of Hope Ministries, and every dollar is greatly appreciated and needed, and we thank God for the way he's providing every week to pay for this broadcast. He's doing it, and so we give him the glory and the praise, and you can be a part of that. But the most important thing we want to leave you with today is God has a plan for you, and that plan is that you can live in a much better way than you are right now. You can live with the peace of God. Nathan, a final thought? Quick.
My final thought is this, that I believe that the love of God in us, through us, on us, can conquer anything that the enemy wants to throw in our way.
Amen.
I believe that, you know, once we surrender to his will, and we just make the decision, because we've been set free to choose, make a decision to do it his way.
Amen.
We're going to find more freedom, more joy, more peace, more of everything that we are seeking, more contentment, if we just truly just yield ourselves to that.
Amen. Kristen, a final thought?
My final.
And you guys are great guests. All of my radio guys are wonderful guests, so praise God. Go ahead.
My final thought is that no matter how hard it is to make that first right choice of forgiving or saying, okay, God, I lay this down, no matter how hard that is, because that first time it's hard.
Yes.
That first time, ooh, it's hard to open up your mouth and say, okay, God, I give this up to you. I release this hurt. I release my forgiveness. But no matter how hard it is, it's worth it.
It's worth it
for the change and the peace that's going to come in on the inside of you. Do it right now. Do it today. Don't wait. Take that action today to take that first step to living a good life.
Praise God.
Praise God.
And you can have the love of God living inside of you. Nathan, your song has got me.
Praise God.
Praise God. So thank you for tuning in today. It's been Pastor Marcia McAllister coming to you from Beacon of Hope Ministries, Dunedin, Florida, and around the globe, and now also Newcastle, Indiana. And we welcome every one of our dear friends there at Beacon of Hope. God bless you. We're glad you tuned in today. Catch us again next week on this same station, 4:30 on Sunday afternoons till 6 o'clock. We invite you to call other people and tell them to tune in, because God's doing a mighty thing in this day. He's the healer of our emotions. Praise God. See you next week.
Thank you for joining us on Living the Good Life, the broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries that welcomes all people, origins, backgrounds, lifestyles, and circumstances. This is conversation radio, all about real life, real truth, and real purpose. Join us again next Sunday evening from 4:30 to 6 as we continue our discussion of more hope for your future. Connect with us at beaconofhopeministries.com, getting you on the road to living the good life.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, Wesley Chapel.